So basically, back in the olden days of ancient Rome and Greece, there were a series of either 3 or 9 muses, depending on where you're getting your information. And these muses were goddesses who served as a source of knowledge or inspiration to creative folks. There were muses of poetry, music, song, dance, history, comedy, tragedy, and even science. These muses were said to sort of live in the walls of an artist's studio. And whenever the muse felt like it, because muses were fickle, you see, they would bless the poet, artist, singer, songwriter, dancer, whatever it was, with a flash of inspiration. A muse was, in addition to several other things, an excellent creative scapegoat. Because if you just weren't feeling it that day, if you had writer's block, if you were tired or maybe had a little bit too much to drink the night before, you could say, you know, my muse isn't showing up today. Therefore, I am off the hook and I don't have to write. Or if what you wrote was bad, or if you weren't pleased with it, if it was not inspired enough, you could say, blame my muse. This isn't my fault. I wasn't inspired. On the flip side, when you did write something inspired or wonderful, the credit was not entirely due to you. You would have to share credit for your genius with your muse. And to be completely honest, I think that this goes a long way in keeping us from becoming narcissists, for thinking that we ourselves are genius. I sometimes wish that the, shall we say, more ego-inflated members of celebrity society would give a little bit of credit to a muse sometimes. In fact, there's a long-standing tradition of giving credit to muses. You can find this in the first book of Homer's Odyssey. You can also find it in Shakespeare's 38th sonnet, when, in fact, instead of giving credit to the muse, he's actually kind of upset with his muse. And he says, "How can my muse want subject to invent, while thou dost breathe, that pourst into my verse, thine own sweet argument too excellent, for every vulgar paper to rehearse?"